But Psalm 19, excuse me. So this morning, we're going to look at Psalm 19, and we're going to look at how to avoid, as is described in Psalm 19, the great transgression, in a message entitled, Beware of the Great Transgression. It sounds scary. So, well, what is the great transgression? Well, simply put, as described by David in Psalm 19, the great transgression is the sin of presumption. The sin of presumption, or the sin of arrogance. What is a presumptuous sin? Sinning, knowing that what you're doing is wrong. Sinning and knowing what you're doing is wrong. It's like, wow, that's what the great transgression is. That's what's described here, because this is the sin that, and there's the worst kind of sin. There's the sin of ignorance, that's what we're going to look at today. You didn't know, but the Word of God now shows you that what you were doing is wrong, and now we have the opportunity to correct the behavior. But the worst kind of sin is a sin we know is wrong, and we don't care. So how can we protect ourselves from that this morning? That's what Psalm 19 deals with this morning. If we could stand this morning as you're physically able out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, we're going to begin in verse number 7 down through the end of the Psalm. Psalm 19 beginning in verse number 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that you bless this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your word, and we thank you as this passage says, Lord, your servant is warned. I thank you for the servants that are here today, Lord. They love you, and they want to be warned, and I pray that you would warn us away from the great transgression. For, Lord, it's in all of us, the desire just, I want to do what I want. I don't care that God is not pleased with it. Lord, that reigns in every heart, and I pray, dear Lord, that we would step away from that, and, Lord, know how to battle it, and how you, Lord, can heal us of that, Lord. I pray your blessing and that you would guide us in your word this morning and give me the words to say in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Beware of the great transgression. You know, the great transgression is not some boogeyman hiding in the closet. It's not some weird ethereal thing out there that might somehow get you. Beware. No, beware of something that resides in each and every person. Can I be clear this morning? The capacity for presumptuous sin is ingrained in every person. I know it's wrong, but I don't care. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. That is presumptuous sin, presumptuous sin. But we must look at this morning, what do we see David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, give us? Number one this morning, we see the role of God's law. The role of God's law is first to point out sin, to show us what sin is. Romans 3:20 says, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified, meaning you can't be saved by it in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's the purpose of the law. Paul describes it as the schoolmaster that brings you to Christ. It is simply to point out, this is what sin is. The law of God said, here's the line. Passing this line is sin, and it points out those sins in our life. And we know there are times when we don't know the law of God, we are ignorant, we have trespassed against it. But how can we know if we've trespassed if we don't know the law? This is the sin of ignorance. Acts 17:30, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because we have the Word of God, we have the completed New Testament. So here are the attributes of God's law, and that's what goes down. We're going to step through this part of Psalm 19 for a moment, beginning in verse number 7. What do we see in verse number 7? The law of the Lord is, here is, perfect. I mean, it's complete without error. The result will it be converting the soul. Amen. The only way we can come to Christ is know what sin is and agree with God on what sin is and agree with God, as we looked at this morning in Sunday school, what the condition of man is and agree with God what the solution is, and that's the blood of Christ. And so if we understand that, that law is perfect. There's no crooked laws in the Word of God. God's law, because He is perfect, God's laws are perfect. And just as man can try and make the perfect laws, they cannot. We are flawed. We do not see the end from the beginning. But the knowledge of God, the law of God, is complete and it is perfect. And God is the authority on what sin is. Because doesn't man try to define what sin is? Well, I don't think that's sin. Oh, you know, I don't think that lying is a sin. It's okay to lie in certain situations, right? It's not a lie to steal. It's not a sin to steal. Only in certain. I mean, if you're hungry, you know, we can steal. Then it's okay, right? You know, that's not a sin. Well, what does God's law say about it? We could go down a list of sins. God has a law and a command concerning that. And His law is complete and it is perfect. Never should we say, well, God's law doesn't apply to this situation. Absolutely wrong. God's laws are universal. They apply to every situation. That brings us to the second part. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Testimony means an open attestation. What God says is going to happen. If you trespass, if you go away from this law, this is what's going to happen. I'm giving you the testimony. This is what the consequence is going to be. Also, the testimony of if you obey, what the blessing is going to be. That's the testimony of the Lord, and it's sure. It doesn't change. Well, that won't happen to me. Oh, by the way, can I say that is the root of the great transgression is I understand what I'm doing is wrong. I understand the consequences, but it won't happen to me. What you're saying is God doesn't have the power to enforce His law. That's what you're saying. Or God doesn't care to. Is that what His testimonies are? What He says He will do, He will always do. His testimonies are sure. They are sure, making what? Wise the simple. Those, if you don't understand the things of God, look at what He says. God's testimonies are truthful and dependable. They will give wisdom to the ignorant. This is how we learn the Word of God. We listen to what He says, and we believe it. The Word of God will make you wise and take away ignorance. Verse 8, this is all by way of introduction, by the way, give us a grounding here. Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right. The rules of the universe, the morality that we're all held accountable to, whether we like it or not, they are not crooked, they are not unreasonable, they are right and always will be right. And this is what man is judged by, the statutes of God. So we look at, this is the boundary. If we look here at the front of the platform here, there is a boundary at the end of this platform that goes from here to here. This is the boundary, and it's a right boundary. Never can we say that the law of God is unrighteous, that the law of God isn't right, that God has made a bad law, that God has made a bad rule, that the restriction that God has made isn't right. Isn't that what some people say today? Well, you know, the audacity of someone to say that God would make someone a homosexual. I'm sorry, that's not the law of nature. That's not the statute of God. The statute of God is that male and female created He them, and that it says that is sin and an abomination to Him. To do that, that is the breaking of the statute of God. To say, well, God will let me break His own laws is completely a lie. God will never break His commands or His statutes because they're right. If there's nothing wrong with them, then why would He change them? Amen. But man wants them changed for him because he doesn't think they're right. Oh, don't ever look at the Word of God and say, well, God's statute, well, I understand, but God's Word, He's just a little harsh. You know, he's a little too strict. How dare we? God is the God of heaven. We are His creation. We have no right to say that God is anything except holy and right. And give Him praise. Because, not only that, His commandments are what? Pure. enlightening the eyes. What are they going to do? If you follow the commands of God, they're not going to lead you to sin, but they're going to lead you to righteousness. They're going to enlighten your eyes so you can see the path that you're on, and they're going to send you down the right path, showing you the path of your feet, showing you what you ought to do and what not to do. Many times we look at commandments, we see the statutes. This is the limit. Commandment says, go do this. A commandment said, go and do something. A statute is a limit. Don't do this. Don't go beyond this boundary. A commandment says, go and do this. Isn't that what Jesus did? Jesus gave statutes, limitations, but also most of what Jesus said was go and do this. Go and be kind. Go and be compassionate. Go and show, go and serve others. That's what a commandment is. And guess what? They're pure. They have no wrong motivation. They are pure, showing you what you ought to do. And what is, and we look at this, the fear of the Lord, verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. It's not wrong to fear the Lord God. It is required. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. Because if we have the fear of the Lord, then we're going to want to stay away from the great transgression. Because when we understand that, hey, God has a boundary and it's right, His testimony is sure. He says, if I cross the boundary, this is going to happen. I better believe it, and I better fear what God says He's going to do if I step over it. And I better fear the Lord and understand if I follow the command of God, the blessing and the protection of my Lord will be with me. That means something, and it meant something to David. And that's how he lived his life. But it's interesting, you look at Psalm 19, but then you see what happened with David later in his life. What? Was David guilty of the presumptuous sin? Absolutely yes. With Bathsheba? Absolutely yes. With Uriah? Absolutely yes. He knew it was wrong, but he didn't care and did it anyway. And look at the result of his life, of what happened there. Getting ahead of myself a little bit. Well, what do we see? The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are, here it is, true and righteous altogether. Oh, when He judges, you've crossed the line, He's right. But Lord, you didn't understand the situation I was in. Oh, Lord, you didn't understand the temptation. Lord, He was there, and He saw, and His judgment is always right. Always right. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? And they're true and righteous altogether. Verse 10, and you know what? We need to desire all these things. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. There's a bit of poetic language here. But all these things that I just described ought to be more precious to us than anything on this earth. Doing right, knowing where the boundary is, knowing where God commands us to do, and they are precious to us because we want to be pleasing to the Lord, as we see that in verse 14, but we'll get there in a moment. There's precious. This is why we are here today. This is why we ought not miss a service. This is why we study the Bible, because it's pure and it's precious. It's valuable. It isn't just something we tack onto our life to help us get through the week. It's something that will guide every aspect of our week, of our life. It's precious. Oh, that we would view it so. Can I say this? There are many Christians in America today that do not view God's word as precious, church as precious, or all that I said here. They don't have this view. Go overseas, many do view it this way. That's why they walk 10 miles to church one way, and they don't miss a service. And they're 65 years old, and they have no shoes. But they're happy they came. Amen. Man, if that was a requirement in America, I think a lot of churches would close. Why? Because they view it as a precious thing. That's why I encourage people that if you grew up in America and you've never been overseas, you've never been on a mission trip, go. It'll change your life. Because I'm sorry, in America, we're spoiled. Big time. We are spoiled. And not only, well, yes, Pastor, our society's spoiled. No, our churches are spoiled. Our Christians are spoiled. Let's be honest, there's not very many Christians in America that knows what it means to actually suffer and what biblical suffering. Being disowned by your family, beaten to death, facing honor killing because you left either the Buddhist, the Hindu, or the Muslim faith. That's what Christians around the world are facing. in the Middle East, in the Far East, that's what they face. Do we face that when we come to Christ here in America? No, all we face is getting called a couple of names. That's it. We don't face violence. And then we have the audacity to say, well, I want to do it because I can, because I have rights. Why? So why? What is the purpose of all of this? What is the purpose of all the testimonies and the statutes, the commandments, all of these things? Verse 11, moreover, by them is thy servant, what is it? Warned. Warned of what? What do we need to be warned about? We're on our way to heaven. Praise God. We learned that in Sunday school. What do we need to be warned about? Presumptuous sin. Sin needs to be warned about. Amen. We're saved from sin, but sin still reigns inside of us. Sin is still in our capacity to do. Doesn't have to. We're not bound by it any longer, but we can still choose to do it. We don't all of a sudden become perfect overnight. Sinless perfection is a myth. It doesn't happen. Sinless perfection is only in heaven because we still have this flesh that we deal with. And the flesh is presumptuous at its very nature. I will do what I want to do and no one can stop me. That's in every single person. Whether you say it outwardly or not, that's in every single person. Just be honest about it. That's how we are. That's what the Bible tells us we are. And David understood that. He said, Lord, keep me. I don't want to do that. Keep me from the presumptuous sin. So what is the great transgression? Well, verse 13. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. This is the danger that we all must be aware of. And as I said, inside each of us, the worst thing that we can think is, oh, I would never do that. You look at somebody, oh, I would never do that. I would never cheat on my spouse. I would never lie like that. I would never steal like that. Can I just tell you something? It's in the capacity and it's in all of us. Understand that. We say, well, I would just never do that. That's just not in my nature. You misunderstand your nature then. Your nature is crooked and twisted and corrupt. So here's the source of presumption. Presumption is simply saying it is a blind or headstrong confidence or arrogance. So saying, if I do this, yes, I understand the statute of the Lord is right here. But I can do this, and I'll be fine. I know God is wrong. I know that I shouldn't do it. But I think I'll be fine. And I know you'll understand. Can I just say something? God doesn't understand. Oh, you've had a rough upbringing, so I understand. You know, you haven't had the advantages other people have had, you know, so you understand. I understand your skin color gives you disadvantages, so you're okay. Is that in the Bible? It's not there. So saying, oh, I don't have to follow God's laws because of this or that or the other. I can do it. Other people maybe can't, but I can. Isn't that what the devil said? The devil had the sin of presumption. I will be like the Most High. I can be greater than God. That was a presumption. He was wrong, wasn't he? And he will find out one day how wrong his presumption has been. 2 Peter 2:10, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Oh, they don't want restriction. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Proverbs 21:4, an high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. How do we know it's sin? It is sin by the statutes of God. Here it is. The sin of, I know it's wrong, I'm going to do it anyway. Isn't that what Adam did in the garden? The Bible says he wasn't deceived. He presumed. I know God told me not to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. You know what? I remember reading this one time, and I was like, it's very poetic, and it's lovely, but it's fiction, okay? That why Adam ate that apple is so because he loved Eve so much. And he knew that she would be, if he didn't sin, then she would be destroyed. He wanted to be with her forever. That sounds lovely, but is that what human nature is? Oh, she got away with it. I can too. Because she ate of it. Oh, because I'm sure, just like we would read it, that Adam understood, oh, you eat of it, you drop dead right then. Oh, she didn't. Oh, I can do it too then. Isn't that human nature? Absolutely. Sorry, it's not as lovely and poetic as some people like to make it to be. He presumed, and there was a consequence. The sin of Cain against Abel. His sin, his sacrifice was rejected, and he was angry, and he had the sin of presumption. I can do what I want, and killed his brother. The sin of David with Bathsheba and killing of Uriah. The sin of Judas and betraying Jesus. The list goes on. Presumption. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what I want. Isn't that what undid Saul? Saul said, you are to destroy everyone and destroy all of it. And he said, oh, but I want to save some for the Lord. Oh, don't spiritualize your presumptuous sin. Oh, this was something that just, I don't know, this turns your stomach. I know a lot of people have heard of Ravi Zacharias. Then a lot of things came out after he died. How that he had a string of women from one side of the globe to the other. He owned a chain of massage parlors. Can I just tell you something? Why, as an evangelist and apologist, you need to own a chain of massage parlors? Red flags, anybody? And so he had all these mistresses, and you know what? He justified it. Oh, I know it's not sin because this is God's reward for me for serving him so faithfully. This is God's reward. I don't need a wife. I need, you know, and this is God's reward for me. Oh, isn't that what Jack Hyles did? Same thing. Oh, yeah. Even, and so what, it just, well, how does someone get there? It's presumption. Oh, you can justify anything if you have gone down the path of the great transgression. Oh, I understand what the Bible says, but God understands. I hate that phrase. Well, God, that's how we justify so much sin and wrong. Well, what is the sin of presumption? Well, I don't feel like that is wrong. I just don't feel like that's wrong. You know how many times I have people say that? I say, well, they say, well, I understand, but I just don't feel like it's wrong. God doesn't consult our feelings when giving his laws. The law is true whether you feel like it should be or not. This is our society. We live in a feelings-driven. Well, I feel like, you know, it's amazing. You ever seen someone, you know, they have these dash cam things of these people that get pulled over for a speeding ticket or something? Well, I feel like I shouldn't get a ticket. What ends up happening? The police are, oh, I'm sorry about your feelings. You know, and no, it's not what happens. Like, sorry, you broke the law. Here it is. There's a consequence to that. I don't feel like that is wrong. I don't feel like it's wrong. Or the Holy Spirit has not convicted me that that is wrong yet. The Holy Spirit hasn't spoken to me, and I'm just going to wait for the Holy Spirit to speak to me. Well, he's not. The Holy Spirit's going to speak through his word. Amen. So if he's speaking, you're just not listening. That's the problem. I say, well, the Lord hasn't spoken to me about that yet. You know, I just need to grow. Well, how about, like, can I show you a verse so he can speak to you about it? Right there. Then that's the people that trust in, well, I just had the feeling and the, you know, they'll just come to me. I'm sorry, he speaks through here. He says it's wrong because why? His testimonies are sure. His law is right and pure and righteous. Well, I don't think the Bible says anything about this. Yeah, I just don't think the Bible applies in this situation. Really? That's convenient. How about then? That shows you don't know what it says, or you know what it says and you choose to bend your way around it. That's the sin of presumption. Well, God accepts me as I am, so I don't need to change anything. You know, God accepts me. He loves me as I am. I don't need to change anything. True. Does God love us in spite of our sin? We looked at that this morning. Yes. Is it our own merit that he saves us by? Yes. But what does David talk about? Remember, David's saved. He says, I want to be acceptable in verse 14. I want to be acceptable in thy sight. God doesn't accept our sin. He does not accept it. Especially of the Christian. There's a big difference between God loving us in spite of ourselves and God accepting our sinful condition. The Bible clearly spells out that God does not find our sin acceptable. This passage in the Psalms shows that clearly this is not right. Thy servant is warned, stay away from it. So here it is, number three, avoiding the great transgression. How do we avoid it? How do we avoid it? Well, here it is. My first thing is by keeping the hedge. What do we say? Keep back my servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Verse 13, then shall I be upright and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. So first is keeping the hedge by prayer. Lord, protect me. This is a prayer that David is saying. Protect me from this sin. Lord, chastise me before I get to this place. Lord, hinder me from getting to this place. I don't want to go down this path. Lord, take the opportunity away. Ever been in a situation where you were about to commit the presumptuous sin, but then you get a phone call from somebody about saying, I just want to encourage you in the Lord? Ever have that happen to you? You know, you're about to get upset about something. You're about to let it fly, and then you get a call. So, well, I just wanted to, you know, I'm praying for you. Thank you, Lord. You kept me from the presumptuous sin. Oh, there's so many things. And we think about it, but they're just simple things that we know are wrong, yet we do them anyway. Oh, simple things. You know, we get frustrated. We murmur. We complain. Well, murmuring is sin. Simple command, murmur not. Oh, we do it, though. We complain. We can, you know, and I'm one of those people in situations, you know, especially with people driving. You know, was last night, actually, it was in the right after dinner time. I would just check the bus out. I was making sure everything was ready for today. I was coming out over here. I was going up to the road, and I was coming, you know, that corner right before the stop sign, right here at the access road, right before you get at 195. And this guy, this nut coming down, I think it was, I couldn't tell, but it was probably a guy, because I would get roasted if I said it was a woman. But anyway, it was a guy coming in. And they were turning. They didn't realize how turn it was. So I'm coming up right then, and they're screeching their tires coming around because they didn't realize how sharp it was. Missed me by about 2 feet. Okay, just going around. I was like, this is a new van. I don't need to get hit right now. Okay, almost happened. I'm sitting there. So I just kind of move over to the side of the road. They're like squealing it coming through. And then they just go on their merry way. And I'm just like, you want to complain at that moment? Like, who taught him to drive? Murmur not. I said, Lord, thank you for protecting me. I just sat there for a minute. I was like, phew. You know, you get the adrenaline going because, like, oh, this is it. I'm going to get hit again. Fourth time in the last year. Okay. Third time. Well, first time this year. So it's a new year, so I got to start over, I guess. I was like, oh, man. Keeping the hedge, Lord, protect me from the great transgression. Protect me, chastise me, don't let me get that far. Here it is, verse 13 as well. And let them not have dominion over me. Now, it doesn't say presumptuous sin, it says sins, plural. There's more than one. We all have more than one. Let them not have dominion over me. I don't want to be controlled by it. So number one is keeping the hedge. Number two, keeping us free. Oh, pride and arrogance would love to reign in our heart. This is the source of the presumptuous sin. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Verse 9, Psalm 119, 133. Order my steps in thy word and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. So order my steps according to your word, not the way I think they need to be ordered. You know what? We don't do a check and say, well, I'm good for the day. See, Lord, check me over. Is my heart right today? I think it's right, but it doesn't matter what I think. It matters what you think. Is my mind in the right place, Lord? Am I have the right attitude today? Lord, show me if it isn't. Amen. That'll keep you from the presumptuous sin. David did not want to have these sins have dominion over him and to be in the bondage of sin. By the way, sin always binds, and we're the ones that let it happen because we've been made free. We're the ones that entangle ourselves with sin again. And in being free, let us be innocent and free and clean from sin. What is this last part here? The key. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, what I think about, what I allow to marinate in my mind and in my heart, let it be acceptable in thy sight. Doesn't Philippians tell us about that? Whatsoever things are pure. Those are things that are honest. Amen? That's what we should let meditate in our heart. Too many times we let a bunch of junk meditate in our heart and in our mind, and we wonder why we cannot resist the presumptuous sin when it comes. Never set the standard of what is acceptable to you. Our standard is what is acceptable to God. Proverbs 15:8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. 1 Peter 2:5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices the way you feel. What you feel is right. Amen, isn't that what it says? No, it says acceptable to God. By who? Jesus Christ. Amen. By him. That's the only way we're made acceptable is by him. Oh, let's have the right words that come from the right heart. Your words, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, Jesus said. So if your words aren't right, that means your heart's not right. Oh, I let it slip. Nope, that's just what was in there. That's all. All this, be honest, Lord, my heart wasn't right. And what happens? You ever have those frustrated times when you're frustrated with somebody? Why? Because you let the meditation of your heart be on their failure instead of on the grace that God has brought upon their life and upon yours? Oh, that's how we get irritated with people, isn't it? We get frustrated that we meditate on what they've done wrong. Oh, doesn't love cover a multitude of sins? Isn't that what the Bible says? The love of God has covered your sins, so let's not meditate on their failure. That's a wrong meditation, because if you meditate on that, guess what? What's going to come out of your mouth the next time you see them? Amen. Oh, this is where we live. This is every day. This is practical right here. So you want to know, you wonder why we gossip and we murmur? Because the meditation of our heart is corrupt. If you want to know why we complain, because the meditation of our heart is not upright, it's not right, it's not acceptable to God. So this morning, are you sinning presumptuously? Praise God, there's cleansing for you at the cross. There's forgiveness. The interesting thing, if you look at the Old Testament, is that there was a sacrifice for every trespass, but the sin of presumption, there was no sacrifice for. Sinning presumptuously. That's why adulterers were stoned. There was no sacrifice for their sin. Instant death. Because if you commit adultery, I'm sorry, you are sinning presumptuously. You know it's wrong. If you are in any type of moral sin, fornication, where to being intimate with someone who is not, you're not married to, whether it be adultery or fornication, that is a sin of presumption. It's wrong. Pornography is a sin of presumption. It is wrong. But in the Old Testament, there was no sacrifice for that sin. Praise God, Jesus Christ is the sacrifice for all sin, even the presumptuous sin. However, let's not presume upon the grace of God. That's why Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, no. No. We've been freed from that. Oh, what an egregious blight upon the precious blood of Christ to continue in sin. Like, oh, Jesus will forgive me. I can do what I want. Oh, that is a great spit in the face of Jesus and what he did for you. There's cleansing for you at the cross. However, why do you want cleansing? So you can get away with it again? No. Or do you want to be free from sin? There's a big difference. Don't let arrogance and sin anymore reign in your life. There is deliverance in Christ. Praise God for that. But beware. Do you have the same prayers, David? Lord, keep me from the great transgression. I don't want to be. Keep me from the presumptuous. And we say, oh, I have a presumptuous sin. David was honest. He had presumptuous sins. But we know that one day, because he made a series of choices, he wasn't where he was supposed to be. He wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. He let his guard down, and he committed the presumptuous sin of adultery and of murder, lying. Stealing from another? Oh. David, what happened? He got away from the Word of God. It's the only answer we have. He got away from the Word of God. If you look at Psalm 119, you notice something. What does he say in Psalm 119? It said, in thy word I meditate both what? Day and night. What was that? Was he meditating on the Word of God at that moment? When he was on the rooftop? He should have been. He wasn't. That's how fast sin can happen. Keep me from presumptuous sin, so that I may be innocent of the great transgression. It is a transgression to sin, but it is greater to sin presumptuously. Let's not be guilty of that before our Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. Oh, that we know what we're supposed to do. For he that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And that's the sin of presumption, the great transgression. Lord, we thank you that there is a sacrifice for sin. We thank you, Lord, that you shed your blood to forgive us, even the presumptuous sins. Oh, Lord, that we be free from sin. Lord, thank you for loving us and being kind to us, Lord, when we don't deserve it. Lord, I pray this week that we would, every moment of the day, pray, keep us, Lord, from presumptuous sins. Help us. Help us. And Lord, cleanse us. We pray for any here today that need cleansing. I pray that they would come to you today and not delay another moment. We thank you for your word and how powerful it is. Cleanse us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.